Will Rogers was a famous commentator comedian back in the day, and he once said, "Congress is so strange. A man gets up to speak and says nothing. Nobody listens, and then everybody disagrees." And I'm sure those who are in politics get frustrated when no one listens to what they say. But then we all do. We might not be the deepest thinkers in the nation, but sometimes we have something that's worth listening to. And so it's not uncommon to hear parents complain that their kids don't listen to them, while the children complain that their parents don't listen to them. Have you ever thought of what it's like for God? To have a world full of people whom He has made, who for the most part don't listen to Him? How many times did God tell people not to do something and then they proceed to do the very thing? You know, Israel, just like others, just doesn't listen to God. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 10. "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them." God said, "I'd like to warn somebody about what's coming up. I can't find anybody to listen to me." Can you imagine what that's like? God sent His Son even into the world, and yet the world was not able to comprehend His Son. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Or not Jeremiah, John. John chapter 3, I'm reading the line before. John chapter 3, verse 19. "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." People just didn't want to change. They didn't want light shed on what they were doing. In our passage for our scripture reading, in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon depicts wisdom as a woman walking about a noisy street, trying to get somebody in the crowded marketplaces or at the busy intersections, just to get somebody to pay attention. And we go back to Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 20. "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings." And the problem is no one's paying attention to her. There are too many distractions. And interesting, the word here is used in the plural, though it's treated as a singular. God's wisdom is manifold. It's the plural word here for wisdom. There's a variety of things that could be talked about. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And in verse 10. "And so the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places." Wisdom's not a single thing. It's a variety of things working together as one. And wisdom is something so necessary that it's dangerous to try to not listen to it. It's dangerous to listen to evil instead. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down into the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessor. We cannot focus on Satan's lures, trying to tempt us into doing what is evil. We need to see what the end result is. That's why he says, look at what happened. You follow after evil, you follow after sin, you're giving up your life. It's going to take your life away. And as the proverb writer points out, as Solomon points out, wisdom's shouting in the streets. Wisdom's trying to get people to pay attention to her. But no one's listening. So the question is why? And in verse 22 it says, how long, O you naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. How long is this going to keep going? Some people, and she's listening out what it is, some people don't have much experience, and they actually would rather stay naive. They prefer a simple view of the world. And you'll see this in many groups. Rather than treating every person as individuals, there's a strong preference that we make broad generalities. And so you have people running around saying, well, black people are, Jews are, white people are, even the government is. They're not one person. They're not that lockstep with one another. But we prefer a simpler view of the world, a naive one, because it makes it a little bit easier to handle. See, people don't want wisdom because it complicates this simplistic view of the world. It makes people think. It means handling each person differently because you have to face the fact that each person is different. Then there's the group that likes to belittle things. Back a long while ago, I heard a song on NPR belittling people who listen to talk radio. No reasoning. The song had really clear falsehoods in it, with small, you know, sound bites of phrases pulled out of context. But they saw it as humorous. That's what people do. When they don't like one side, they make fun of it. But that scorn comes from pride. I'm right, therefore you're wrong. And if you don't agree with me, then I'll make fun of you. The reasoning isn't there, because it isn't based on reasoning. It's mocking, using taunts to prove points. I get that all the time, the emails that I get. There's people out there that they somehow think they're being clever by making taunts instead of actually sitting down and thinking of things through. They don't want to know they are wrong. Because being wrong makes a person feel bad. Being wrong means, well, I would have to make some changes. And people rather see themselves as right. And pride gets in the way. And then there's the people that just don't want to learn, the fools. Don't tell me things, I just don't want to know. I know enough, thank you very much. But wisdom goes on to say it's dangerous not to listen. In fact, if we go on and read verse 23, it says, "Behold, turn to my reproofs. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock at you when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they will eat the bread of their own way and be sated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy him." The problem is, when you're told you're wrong, the gut reaction for a lot of people is just to dig in. If you're going to push me, I'm going to just stick that much harder to what I believe. In Proverbs chapter 29, take a look at verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. "A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy." You can only stick so far. In the end, it destroys you because you're inflexible. And then there's the problem of fear. Take a look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, and in verse 4. "So I will choose their punishments and will bring on them what they dread. Because I called and no one answered, I spoke and they did not listen. They did evil in my sight and chose that which I did not delight." God basically says, I'll bring on the very things that you fear are going to happen. Because you won't listen to what I say. One of the things that's kind of odd in that passage in Proverbs 1 is that when wisdom calls out, people did eventually respond, and wisdom says, well, I'm not going to answer now. And it seems strange until you realize you can't wait until you need wisdom to gain wisdom. Wisdom takes time to learn. You can't expect to change at the last minute. There's limits. Use the illustration in the past. You know, you don't build a tornado shelter when you start seeing the whirlwind on the horizon. It's a little bit too late. Okay. And the same problem with wisdom. That's what when it says she laughs, she's laughing in the same sense. This is ridiculous. You can't wait to the last minute and then say, hey, I want it. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 and in verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." There is a time limit that we have in our lives. And we got to take advantage of what we have while we have it. And then, of course, there is a problem that somehow people get in their mind that, well, it doesn't matter what I do. But it does. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, and look at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You get what you sow. You put evil into your life, and why should you be surprised? Evil comes back at you. This is why it will destroy you. And again, in Romans chapter 6, Romans 6 and verse 21. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But at the end of Proverbs 1, Solomon tells us the gains of wisdom, the benefits thereof. And in verse 33, Proverbs chapter 1, and in verse 33, it says, but he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. When we listen to wisdom, when we learn it in proper time, we make it a part of our lives, then there's safety. In Isaiah chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10, say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. It's just the same as with the wicked. You put evil in, you get evil out. You do righteousness, righteousness comes back at you. Good things happen. And that gives you safety. It also gives you security. Take a look at Psalms 112. Psalms 112, and look at verse 7. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. It doesn't matter what rumors there are on the horizon about all the things that are going to go bad. You got rumors going around, you know, incredible inflation, and some of which we're already starting to see. There's all sorts of rumors about how horrible life can become. And it could. But our trust has to be in God. And it doesn't matter what happens in life, because I'm here only temporarily and I'm heading off. Wisdom tells us how to handle the difficulties in life. And wisdom's calling, but the question is, are we listening? God wants to teach us his ways. But are we actually learning from God? I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like to praise your brother on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song Selected.